Well, once again, we're glad to have you today. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, you can keep that one. Now you have one. You can write your name in it, make it your very own. And of course, you can feel free to use an iPhone or some type of media device with a Bible app to access the Word of God there too. We're opening those things up to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look here in verse 9, Matthew 6 and verse 9. While you're turning, I'll just tell you what we're talking about today. We're continuing on with our lesson, talking about God being a rewarder. And we've seen some actions that God says when you take these actions, there are rewards that come from God that He has linked to them. And so I'm excited about this. Number one, to know that God loves us enough to reward us. God is a rewarder, and the reason why He rewards is because He loves us. But He's also linking rewards to these actions because they're very important to Him. And friends, I want you to take note of this when we're studying this, is that these things that we're talking about, these are not just some biblical actions or not just something I ought to do or I should do. These are honestly things that God just is pleased with. When you take these actions, He's so thrilled with you taking them that He's willing to reward you openly for the action that you took. And so, friends, I really want you to be mindful of that when we're studying this. I have a lot of things that I want to say to you. I'm going to skip a whole bunch of stuff that maybe I'll come back to later. But for the sake of time this morning, I want to make sure I cover some particular things for this service. We've looked at several things that God rewards. We've seen that God rewards those who diligently do what? Oh, yeah, you guys know. Who's your pastor? Who's your pastor? So we know that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We also know that God rewards those who give alms. And we said that alms is not just giving to the poor, although that's a large measure of it. We said that alms is when our heart is moved with compassion on behalf of someone, and we feel motivated to take care of them. We saw that God said, when you give alms in secret, I'll reward you openly. How many of you think God knows how to reward too? His rewards, they're probably pretty good. Then we looked at last week that not only does God reward those who diligently seek Him, and not only does God reward those who give alms, but God rewards those who pray. And once again, let's look at this in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 9, but let's actually go up a little bit before that and start in verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." What was their reward? People looking at them and saying, "Oh, they're so spiritual." Jesus says, when you do that, when you're only praying to gain attention from men, you've just got your reward. Your reward is their attention. But he goes on to say here in verse 6, "But I say unto you, when thou prayest, enter in," I love this, "enter into your closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward you." How? He'll reward you openly. Now, notice what Jesus didn't do here. He didn't say, it's going to take you 30 minutes to get this done. It's going to take you an hour, 2 hours, and some nights you're going to pray all night. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with praying all night. That's great. Is there anything wrong with praying just 30 minutes? No, 30 minutes is great. An hour is great. 2 hours, that's great. But so oftentimes when we think of great prayer, we immediately attach a time to it. Jesus instead just said this: when you pray, here's what I want you to do. Don't be worried about all the time. Don't be checking your watch to see how many minutes you cleared. Check 5 minutes. Woo-hoo! Mark, we'll shoot for 10 next week. No, he didn't say do any of that. He said, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Make this simple. I want you at some point during your day to set aside some time, close out the world. That's what he's talking about there. Go into your closet, shut the door. All he's talking about there is close out the world and have a moment where it is just me and you. That you pray to me in secret. And when you do that, he didn't go over all this other rigmarole. He said, when you do that, your Father, which sees you in secret, will reward you openly. I love that. Friends, I want to encourage you. Guard your prayer time. No, seriously, you got to guard it. I was listening to, I was reading a book. I mentioned it a couple of Wednesdays ago. From a lady named Vicki Burke, and she is a minister's wife. She's married to Dennis Burke, and they're a dynamic couple. And she grew up from a very abusive background. And out of that, you know, I mentioned it that particular night. Her mother was very abusive to her. The example I gave that Wednesday night was, and this happened a lot in her life, when her mother was doing her hair, she had very thin hair, and when it wouldn't get volume to it, and puff out every time the hair would fall, when her mother would brush it, she would slap her across the face as if it was her fault that her hair wouldn't stand up. Just that type of background. And out of that, she developed a mentality of pleasing, wanting to please her mother, wanting to please her father. And so she would work overtime to try to make that happen. And unfortunately, that carried with her throughout life, trying to please everyone. And that's a huge trap because, friend, you can't please everyone. I don't care how hard you try. If you try to please everyone, not only are you not going to be able to please everyone, you'll never be happy yourself. But she carried that with her, and finally she got out of the household and got born again and just fell in love with God, was doing what was in this verse, not trying to do everything just right, just loving God. And she got over into a church, and in church all she learned was these things to do. And with those things, she started trying to please all these people in the church. And anyway, she got married to Dennis. The ministry continued to expand. But the more the ministry grew, the more her time away from the Lord dropped. And she found herself spending less and less time doing what Jesus said to do in Matthew chapter 6. Less and less time, just me and God pulled aside. I'm telling him how awesome I think he is. I'm going over these things that are going on in my life. She was doing that less and less. And she said, finally, she realized that there was no joy and peace in life. Because remember the reward we went over last week? What's the reward for prayer? It's grace. When you come to the throne of grace, you get grace. Grace is a quality of life that makes things easy. She's doing that less and less. So guess what's happening? Life is getting harder and harder. Even preaching for her was getting harder and harder. Going through the motions, saying all the right words. And I can't tell you how many preachers I know of that this happens to. But she didn't even want to get up on the podium. She didn't even want to. She had a marriage conference coming up. And she didn't even want to get up there and tell anyone how to live as a Christian. Because she definitely was not enjoying her life. And she said she went to go see a Christian counselor, and while they were doing counseling, the counselor got into all the issues she dealt with her mother, and got over into that's what she was trying to do now. She had in her mind, this is what the perfect wife looked like, so let me do this. This is what the perfect mom looks like, so let me do this. This is what the perfect church member looks like, so let me do this. And so she's doing all these things to try to please all these people. But the one thing she's not doing is the one thing that Jesus said was the needful thing. And that was taking time to just sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his words. Now, I want to emphasize that today. I may not emphasize just that part, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Just hearing his words, coming to know his ways, his views concerning things. And she said, through this process, the scripture that kept coming to was Nehemiah. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Nehemiah, but basically, Nehemiah's story went like this. He was a butler, basically a modern-day type waiter. His main job was waiting on the king. And while he's waiting, he hears about his home country, his homeland, and the city that he grew up in, Jerusalem, and how the walls were torn down. The walls were the thing that were built to protect the lives of the people who were behind the walls. And he heard that the walls were torn down. Immediately, a burden in his heart came up for those walls. I've got to rebuild the walls. And so anyway, to make a long story short, he finally goes over there to rebuild the walls. God's gracious hand is upon him. I mean, the supplies that he needs to make it happen, it's coming. The grace that he needs to draw in people, it's working. People are coming to help him. But all the while he's trying to build the walls, he's got two people trying to get his attention off doing what he knows he needs to do. These two things pulling him back, trying to get him off the wall. When they couldn't talk him off the wall, they went to war with him. And it came down to where in one hand he had a sword fighting them back, and in the other hand he basically had a hammer building the walls. And she was saying with this that in her life, this is how she felt. She knew that the thing that was keeping her safe, the thing that was keeping her life intact, was her relationship with God. But over time, what had happened was she did the same thing with God that the children of Israel did with that wall. They just neglected it. It was built up before, but now they're not taking care of it. Now they're not checking it and filling in the gaps, and the gaps are getting bigger and it's kind of falling apart. And then as soon as the walls fall down, guess what happened? All the enemies can get in. You got all these enemies attacking the city, because the walls are down. And she said that's how her life was. When she first got born again, man, her walls were up. That relationship with God was keeping her life intact. But even in ministry, she got sidetracked from her relationship with God and just got focused on all of these other opportunities that life will give her, life will give me, and life will give you. And the whole time, she's not realizing that this thing that was built up so strong at one time has now fallen apart brick by brick. And the cracks are getting bigger and it's falling apart. And then you look around and it's like, wow, all of these enemies are in my life. Because the thing that was keeping them out before is no longer there. Friend, I want to encourage you. You got to rebuild your wall. And maybe, you know, if you're like me and you've been praying for a long time and your wall is built up firm, don't ever leave your wall for any reason. Don't ever allow any event or anyone to take you off the wall. In fact, sometimes in your life, you may have to kind of beat this circumstance back in order to keep working on the wall. What does that mean? It's telling other people no. It's not getting involved and being so busy that you don't have enough time for prayer. It's just saying, you know what? What's most important in my life right now is I must do the one needful thing, and that's to sit in the presence of Jesus and to hear his words. Here Jesus said, what the Father wants is for you to never be too busy to close out all the stuff you've got in the world, to leave your cell phone in another room, to not answer it every time it beeps, to check an email or your Twitter feed or a Facebook post, to leave all of that other kind of stuff outside and just be with your Father in secret. Just be with him. And friends, what I love about this passage is not only does Jesus talk about this simple type of prayer, but he also talks about how to pray. And I love this. I love Jesus' teaching on prayer. Because there's a lot of misinformation about it out there. I said something second service, and it maybe came across a little bit critical of someone else, other preachers who may say this. I don't mean to sound critical at all. I promise you know my heart. I'll never use this as a bully pulpit. And I like what Brother Hagin always said, preach for something, not against something. It's easy to judge. But I do want to say this for the sake of confusion in the church. There's a lot of people, especially now, saying God always answers prayer, but he answers it in different ways. Sometimes he'll answer yes, sometimes he'll answer no, and sometimes he'll answer maybe or wait or whatever other adjective they want to use. And friends, here's my problem with that. There is no, no scriptural reference for that. None. None. Go to John chapter 15 and verse 7 and see where Jesus says, whatsoever you ask, it will be given unto you if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, everyone who asketh receiveth, everyone who seeketh findeth, everyone who knocks the door is open unto him. There is no scriptural reference to support that belief. But here's why people preach it. The reason why people preach is, the reason why a lot of people preach a lot of stuff, they had an experience where something didn't work out the way that they wanted, and so now they're preaching based off of experience instead of off the Word of God. And that is wrong. It leads to false doctrine every time it happens. Now, that happens in all kinds of churches. People say it's a move of the Spirit. The word and the Spirit, they agree, friend. The Word is always going to say what the Spirit will do. We'll know how He manifests Himself. So here's my point to you in this type of church. Anytime someone says something is godly, ask, where is the Scripture? Where's the book? Where's the chapter? Where's the verse? Because this is God's expressed will. Never just take someone's opinion because he's good looking like me. Never, ever, ever do that. Ask, where is the Scripture? But there are cases where it seems like God doesn't answer prayer. There are cases where it seems like you prayed for something and there was no answer. Does that happen? Yes, it does. In fact, I preached a message years ago and said, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I stole Garth Brooks' title of his song and made a message out of it. And it's true. I told First Service this. I thank God he hasn't answered all of my prayers the way I wanted him to. I can remember praying and asking him to marry such and such when I was in third grade. And I look at her now, and every time I see her, I say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are smarter than me. But here's the thing, and you've had things like that in your life where you wanted something and maybe you prayed for it, and if you would have gotten it, you're thankful that you didn't get it. But here's my point, and this is something Brother Hagin said years ago. It's the best advice on prayer that I've heard because it ties into what Jesus is about to say, what we're about to read. This is what he said. I love this. Since I learned how to pray, I've never had a prayer go unanswered. And friend, what I desire for you is for you to say the same thing. There are times when I prayed for things, but I didn't know how to pray, and that prayer went unanswered not because God doesn't answer prayer, he just doesn't answer any type of asking. There's a difference between praying God's way and just asking for something. And what Jesus is about to do is something so incredibly wonderful that if you pay attention to it, you can say what I just said. I've learned how to pray, and now when I pray, I never have a prayer go unanswered. Watch what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Now notice, he's not just saying, pray this prayer. That's not what he said. He said, after this manner, pray this. Basically, he was saying, pray something like this. And he's about to give you a recipe for answered prayer. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever pray a prayer that didn't get answered? No. Even with incredibly hard situations. Think of Lazarus, dead for many days. He's at a tomb. He's saying, roll away the stone. They're all telling him, Lord, he stinketh by now. You don't want to roll away that stone. But he prayed a prayer and asked God to raise him from the dead. And up comes Lazarus hopping. Hard situation, you know it was. But Jesus always got an answer to his prayer. And it was never no or wait. It was always yes. Why? Jesus knew how to pray. If you know how to pray like Jesus knows how to pray, you'll get your prayers answered every time too. And that's our goal. We want to learn how he prayed. And this is why we can look at this with certainty, knowing, hey, when he's teaching on prayer, it's going to lead to answers every time. And watch what he says here in verse 9. After this manner pray, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And never lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, there's a lot of things that I could bring out here. First and foremost, notice how Jesus said to start your prayer. Don't just roll into asking. Number one, the first thing you do is acknowledge God's position. He's in heaven. He's above this earth. There's nothing in this earth he can't change. I acknowledge that. He is in heaven. He's above this earth. But not only does he have all this power in heaven, he's also my Father. It's one thing to know someone in position of power. It's a whole nother thing to have your Father in a position of power, especially when your Father loves you as much as God loves us. So that's the first thing he said. Don't just run into prayer. Take the time to acknowledge who you're talking to. Then you give him thanks. You give him praise. Hallowed be your name. But here's where people miss it. It's with this next part. Most people, how do they pray? Whenever they pray, they pick something that they want to happen in their life. They say, Lord, we need your help with this. We want you to go to work on this. We want you to do this. We want you to do that. Please fix this. Turn the situation around. I'm asking you to do this. And God tells us, Jesus tells us to ask for things. He says three things primarily you should ask for. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What's that? That's a prayer provision. Take care of us, Lord. Give us what we need to thrive in this life. Two, forgive us of our sins. Father, we thank you. Have mercy on us. You should ask for mercy. And give us the grace to forgive all these other people who have wronged us. Then he says, Lord, help me not get into temptation. Oh, it's a great thing to ask for mercy, but you know what's even better than that? After you ask for mercy, asking the Lord to help you not sin again. That's what he's saying. Don't lead us into temptation. And then deliver us from evil. Father, keep my family safe. Keep me safe. Let no evil come nigh my dwelling place. Thank you, I'm blood-bought child of God, and you're going to protect me just like you did the children of Israel when they put the blood of a spotless lamb above their doorpost. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. So he does tell us to ask. But before he tells us to ask, he tells us to say something else. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what does that mean? In heaven, God's will gets done every single time. Every single time. If God wants something done in heaven, it always gets done. If God wants to see something changed in heaven, it's always changed. And what you are saying when you pray that is, Lord, whatever you want to happen in my life, that's what I want. Lord, whatever you want to see done, I want to see done. Wherever you want me to live, I want to live. This is what I'm getting at. Prayer was never designed by God, never, ever, 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 for us to try to get God to bend towards our will. Never designed by God for that. Prayer is where we find or come in with the will of God and pray His will. John chapter 15, verse 7. We already quoted it. What does it say? If you abide in me and my what? My words abide where? In you. That word words, you know what it means? It means utterances. It means he's spoken to your heart something. Faith has been established in your heart. And because you know this is God's will, you can come in with boldness, knowing he cannot deny himself. Prayer is not me trying to, God, I really want this to happen. It's, God, you said that you would do this. I know this is your will. And so, Father, I thank you, your word can never return unto you void. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You cannot be in faith until you know God's will. It's like that old example we always talk about. If I said, hey, after service, I'm going to give you $100. Don't worry, I'm not saying that right now. But if I said after service, I'm going to give you $100, then could you come and ask for it? Sure you could. Why? You knew it was my what? Will. And because you knew my will, it inspired confidence and faith within you to come and ask. If I didn't tell you that, though, and you just came up and said, please bless me with $100, I'd have to consider it. And I might give it based on mercy. But it's not because it was my will. You didn't come with my will. You're trying to bend my will to yours. And friend, I'm telling you, this is what happens in prayer all the time. And this is where doctrine comes out, where people say, well, sometimes God says yes, but sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says wait. No, friend, when you pray God's way, when you find out God's will concerning your life, when you get in his word long enough to find out his will concerning you and you know his will, you approach him with faith and the answer is yes every single time. Go over to James. I'll prove it to you. Don't just believe me because I'm good looking. Where's the scripture? That's what you should be asking. Where's the scripture? James chapter 4. Many people quote this verse, but they don't quote the whole verse. And watch what it says here in James chapter 4. We'll just start off in verse 1. Oh, you'll hear a lot of preachers, they'll quote this verse, but they never get into the second part. And this is what confuses a whole lot of people. Watch what he says here in verse 1. James 4 and verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even from your own lust? That word just simply means desires. That war within your members. Now watch this in verse 2. You lust, you desire, and you have not. You kill and desire to have, but you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you what? Ask not. And how many of you know that scripture? You have not because you what? You ask not. And many people, they stop right there. The reason why you don't have what you want is because you're not asking. So you need to ask God in prayer. Ask God in prayer. Ask God in prayer. Ask God in prayer. You have not because you ask not. And that's the truth, but it's not the whole truth. Read the next scripture. Watch what the next scripture says. Number one reading when interpreting scripture is always read the whole chapter in context. I love what Brother Hagin said. You could read the Bible and make it say anything you wanted it to say. He said you could read where Judas went out and hung himself, and then where there's another scripture that says, go thou and do likewise and tell everyone to hang themselves if you wanted to manipulate scripture. Never take a scripture out of context. Watch what the next scripture says. Verse 3, you ask and what? Receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss or wrong that you may consume it upon your what? Your own lust. You see what he's saying? You have not because you ask not. Okay, well, I'm going to ask. But here's the thing. You don't just ask for what you want. Because when you ask for what you want, that's not taking the will of God to him. Here's the number one thing you have to know concerning prayer. My role in prayer is to find out God's will and pray it back to him. I'm going to find God's will and I'm going to pray it back to him. His word reveals a large portion of his will. In his word, you can find out how to treat people. In his word, you can find out what God thinks about healing, sickness, and disease. In his word, you can find out what God thinks about money. In his word, you can find out what God thinks about all kinds of things. Your job as a Christian is to not read this book like it's a fairy tale, but read this book like it's a textbook. And realize that within it, there are infallible laws, just like the law of gravity. And when you take God that serious at his word, bring it to him in prayer, you will see the answer of yes every single time. God cannot make his word not be true. He can't lie. He cannot lie. But here's what people don't do. They don't find out God's will. They just come in and ask. And God's saying, whoa, no, 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 no. The role of prayer is for my will to be done in your life. So you got to take time to get in the word. But here's the other thing. There are some things you're not going to find in the Bible. What do I mean by that? I mean, I wish the book of Joel, that's my name, Joel. I wish the book of Joel was the story of my life. Joel, when you turn 38, I want you to do A, B, and C. Watch out for this. There's crazy here. Watch out for that. And go around. I wish that was what the book of Joel was, but it's not. I know general things about my life, but the Bible doesn't tell me where I should live, who I should marry, what job I should take, what city I should live in, where I should preach. It doesn't tell me that. But I'm still not without, because I've got a helper, and so do you. And his name is the Holy Spirit, and it's his job to reveal to you the individual plan for your life. And this is why one of the greatest prayers you can pray is this: Give me wisdom, Lord. Let me see your will. Let me know what you need to know. I keep getting this in my heart. I heard a preacher say it years ago. If it's not quite, it's not right. If in your heart it's like, this is not right, but you know what? I'll make it work. No, friend, avoid that. If it's not quite, it's not right. God, legion, peace. If in your heart you've got peace, don't listen to all the wisdom of this world. Follow after peace. An example is this property. My father bought this property back in 1999. You know what I mean? People told him not to buy it. It's too far out. Nothing had been developed up this way. Everything stopped at the movie theater. Our church was all the way over in West Jackson on Highway 18 West. You know what I mean? People said, don't buy it. There's nothing out there. People will never drive out to it. But God's ways are not man's ways. They're not, God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. They are higher, our Father which art in heaven. And guess what his ways and thoughts do? They prosper into whatever he sends it into. And you look at what God has done in this place. Why? It's not just God blessing this place. This is God's plan. And because it's God's plan, it's automatically blessed. Once you know God's plan, then you pray it out. Once you know God's plan for a job, then you pray that job out. Once you know God's plan concerning a house, then you pray that house out. Friend, I want to encourage you. God's got a will for everything. You talk about a planner, buddy. Look at this earth. Look how he planned every blade of grass, all the different types of trees and birds and fish. God is a meticulous planner, and he's got a plan for you. My job in prayer is to discover that plan, if I don't find it in his word, to discover that plan and then pray it out to him. When you do that, there'll never be a prayer you pray that does not go unanswered with the answer of yes. Why? God's not going to deny himself. Friend, I want to encourage you. Pray what Solomon prayed. Remember that? Remember Solomon? Here he is. He's a young man. He's got the power of a nation behind him. And he goes out and he makes a sacrifice unto God. He does that first thing God rewards. He draws near to God with a sacrifice. And God appears to him and he says, right now, ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you. Can you imagine? God appears to you and says, whatever you want, it's not wait 15 years and you'll get it. I'm giving it to you right now. I know what some people would say. I want a honey with money. Oh, give me a honey with money. I need a man. I need a woman. Oh, Lord. And any number of things people would ask for. But you know what Solomon said? He said, God, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. I want to see what you see. I want to hear how you hear. I want to see things the way you see them. You know what God told him? Because you asked for wisdom. You didn't ask for length of days. That would have been a good request. You didn't ask for long life. That would have been a good request. You didn't ask for money. That would have been a good request. You didn't ask for more power. That would have been fine too. But because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things. What is wisdom? It's seeing what God sees, friend. Remember Jesus? Let's go back to him. You all said this. I know it because I've studied it. But I know you know it too. Jesus never prayed a prayer that did not go unanswered. It always was answered with yes, every single time. If Jesus prayed it, it always came to pass. Why? Because Jesus made a statement that said, what I do, it's not of my own. If I say it, it's because my Father told me to say it. If I do it, it's because my Father told me to do it. Jesus took the time to every morning tune in to God. Before he hired his disciples, he spent all night in prayer. When he went out, he didn't interview them. He didn't make them fill out some form. He knew exactly who to pick. He knew exactly. How'd he know? The Lord revealed it to him. Why'd it work? It was God's plan. I'll say this in closing. Think of King David. He never got in a fight that he didn't win. And you know why? Before he ever went to war on something, he took the time to get on his knees and inquire of the Lord, should I go into this fight? Once he got God's plan concerning the fight, he went into the fight, and every time he won. Why? He didn't get into the fight and get to swinging away and say, Lord, bless me, help me, protect me. No, he didn't do any of that. The battle was won before he ever took out his sword. because the battle was not of him, the battle was of the Lord. And whatsoever is born of God is destined to overcome the world, no matter what the world throws at it. The reason why he won is because it was God's idea to fight the battle. And friend, I'm telling you, when you can find God's plan, it's already blessed. It's already blessed. Even the things that God tells us to ask for, provision, pardon, protection, if you stay in God's will, you don't even have to ask for those things. Because in God's will, it is already blessed. In God's will, you're not going to sin. In God's will, you're safe. The key to prayer is not getting God to do our will. It's getting our words to line up with His will. And when our words line up with His will will be done in earth just like it is in heaven. Take time to get alone with God. What do I pray for when I get there? Well, worship Him, magnify Him. But before you get into asking for all this other stuff, take the time to say, Lord, reveal Your will to me. I want Your will done in my life. Give me wisdom. Because I know when I execute Your plan, I can execute it with faith and confidence, knowing it will work every single time. Remember that scripture. Whatsoever is born of God, it will overcome the world every time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience. I literally could preach to you all day. But I know you've got things to do, people to see. So let me pray for you now. Father, we come before You. And we just worship and magnify You. And I would ask of You, Lord, to do something for these people. Reveal Your will and plan to them. And Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus that their hearts are enlarged to see Your will. Bless their eyes to see what they need to see. Bless their ears to hear what they need to hear. Bless their soul to understand Your voice. You said in Your word, Lord, that My sheep know My voice, and the voice of a stranger they will never follow. Thank You that these Your sheep know Your voice. And Father, I thank You that You reveal Your plan to them through Your word and through Your witness. Reveal in their hearts what they need to know. Father, I thank You if people are about to make key decisions, let them heed that. If it's not quite, it is not right. Don't try to make it work. Don't try to make it succeed. Wait for peace in your heart. Then step out on that knowing it'll work every time. We thank You, Lord, we'll do it. We love You, Lord, so much. And we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Keep Your hand strong upon us. We love You, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.